have a few thoughts about this idea of having vision in 2020. This idea of coming into a new year, having a new vision or a new dream, a new spiritual direction for your life, for the church, as we come into this year together. It's important that we first understand what we are saying when we say the word vision. Vision is defined a few different ways. Three different definitions I want to highlight right now are being able to see. That's sort of a physical ability that we have. That's vision. Sometimes we talk about it in the terms of being able to plan for the future, a vision for what's going to come. And oftentimes people talk about vision as a spiritual experience or some kind of enlightenment that we experience supernaturally. And a lot of people, we talk about a vision for something that is going to come, and we kind of merge the second and the third because we want something that is going to be bigger than what we can possibly imagine. This is a field day for all kinds of different advertisements, because coming into 2020, the idea of, you know, combining this year, 2020, and vision, and the idea that 2020 vision is perfection, right? A lot of people are talking about this. So there's all kinds of new visions that are coming from companies all over the world. Here's a few. News Channel 6 has a vision 2020. Salvation Army, the Sierra Club, Coca-Cola. And I was just grateful to see that at least one optometrist had a 2020 vision for the coming year. I was a little worried when I didn't see any pop up, but there was one in Pennsylvania that I found. Everyone wants vision, not just the physical ability, not just what might come down the road, but something special, something new, something that revives their soul from the inside out. The problem is that though everyone wants vision, people are looking in the wrong place. Way too often, people are looking for something supernatural in the natural. Okay, if you want to get New York pizza, where are you going to go? Chicago? Los Angeles? No, definitely not. You want New York pizza, you go to, and you name the place, right? You guys say Ray's, you say Prince Street, wherever. Okay, I want New York pizza, so you go to the source. You want supernatural enlightenment? You want to be refreshed in the soul from the inside out? Then you got to go to the supernatural. You got to go to God. You can't find it in all of the worldly or secular vision that they're offering, because that's going to end. Whether it's in money or in relationship, and all the commercials are hitting you from every direction. Buy this, do this to find happiness. But if it's not from God, the supernatural is not going to revive our souls. We look in the Bible and we see vision all over the place. The word vision actually appears in the Bible. The idea of being able to see in a spiritual way over 100 times. Blindness is a big theme in Scripture. And as we'll talk about, it's really more the spiritual blindness and spiritual vision than the physical. And oftentimes, if you see a combination of the two in a story, usually vision is gained spiritually after someone's been blinded physically. You can see it in a few different examples all the way back in the Old Testament in Judges 16. We see that with Samson. He really has his moment of spiritual glory at the very end after he's been blinded. Blind Bartimaeus has a spiritual awakening, but he has to be blind first to sort of see what God wants him to see. And then maybe the best story of all with this thought in mind is the Apostle Paul, who is blind for 3 days and then scales, like scales falling from his eyes. He is spiritually awakened, but only after God has blocked his vision in a worldly way. I'll put it like this. Sometimes God takes away our worldly sight so that we can see the bigger spiritual picture. Sometimes in our lives, and maybe in 2019, you've hit hard times. Something's been taken away, a relationship, a job, a vision that you had. And then somehow, some way, in God's infinite wisdom, he allowed something to derail your plan. And it hurts. And it's confusing. But we're here in the room because we believe God is so good that his bigger spiritual picture, maybe if it's not revealed in the short term, is being painted in our lives in the long term. And so we trust. And that's what we call faith. Faith. You know, maybe you've heard of this young man before. His name is Im Dong-hyung, and he is a Korean athlete. And he has about 20% visibility in his right eye and 10% visibility in his left. And he just happens to be what some argue is the world's greatest archer. So with that visibility in mind, 20% in the right eye, 10% in the left, he decides to go into archery at the age of 9. And what he sees is a big blur. Everyone else sees the targets and where the arrow lands. He refuses to use any kind of corrective lenses or glasses or surgery. And he does quite well. So much, in fact, that he set a couple of world records, one in the 2012 Olympics in the 70-meter archery competition. 70 meters. He can barely see the whole thing, let alone the bullseye. But he hits it quite a bit. I love this example because it reminds me that sometimes having great vision is not about the talent or the natural ability that you have. It's about how you train. And he trains, and when he lets the arrow fly, he feels it's going in the right direction. Sometimes we can get so focused on what we have to offer. Well, my ability isn't as great as the next person. Or I don't know if I can be that righteous in 2020. Or I don't even know if I can finish out the decision I made to vow to be a follower of Jesus another year because it's so difficult. And you know what God's response is? Is he's like, I didn't pick you because you were naturally righteous. I almost chose you for the opposite because I love when the odds are against me. And God intervenes, whether it's in Gideon's situation where Gideon's about to go against an army of tens of thousands and he's got like 30,000 and God's like, that's too many. Let's chop it down a little bit. And he keeps chopping it, chopping it, chopping it, chopping it until he's got about 300 people. That's about the same size as our fellowship, by the way, here in Manhattan. And he says, now we're ready. And you got to be a little confused as a soldier going into that battle. Whatever do you mean? God waits sometimes to the 11th hour, till we're up against the ropes, till we're at the end of the line. And then he steps in and says, that's the situation I love the most. Because he wants to rescue. Because he wants to encourage. Because he wants to build you up and he wants to remind us it's about him, not us. We train well. We do the things that he calls on us to do, to obey, to follow his word. In the last couple of weeks in preparation for the new year, I've just been going back over stories about Jesus in the Gospels. And it's amazing how those stories continue to mean something new to me every time I read them. That's what the Bible says is living and active. That it continues to apply and have relevance 2,000 years after these situations happened and were written about. And so I encourage us today, and for the new year, and for the next decade, to remember that this, our lives, are really about Jesus. To be reflections of him. You guys have heard me say it before, my favorite character in all the Bible is the donkey that Jesus rode in the triumphal entry on his way into Jerusalem. If I could be anything in the Bible, it's that burro that Jesus rode in on, because that donkey does its job. And when everyone looks at the donkey, do they see the donkey? No, they see Jesus. I want my life to be a reflection of him. That people go, wow, there's something different about him. It reminds me of Jesus. I don't want to be seen as the donkey. I want to be seen as the donkey that rode Jesus into town. So whatever your resolutions are, whatever your decisions are, and maybe you resisted it on purpose like maybe I have because I'm a little skeptical about the whole thing, let's decide today that this is going to be about Jesus. And when we decided, for many of us, to make him Lord of our lives, to repent of our sins and get baptized, it was about Jesus. And so it's got to be about him for the rest of the journey. It's predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would come and give us spiritual sight. And as much as we talk about blindness and vision, his point was really about spiritual vision. It wasn't about the physical. It was about opening the minds, about seeing him, about seeing Jesus. And it's interesting when you look back at the story of Im Dong-hyung, because as amazing as he is, and amazing as he was in those Olympics, he did medal with the team as a whole, But actually, individually, in the 04 Olympics, he placed 6th. In the 12 Olympics, he placed 9th individually overall. So sometimes you do amazing individually, but really, you need the team to medal. We need the church to go forward. But ultimately, we get first place because Jesus went before us. And Isaiah 42 is what will lead us into a time of remembering Jesus as we go into this new year, because it was predicted about him, and I'll read from the Message. It says, I am God. I have called you to live right and well. I have taken responsibility for you, kept you safe. I have set you among my people to bind them to me and provided you as a lighthouse to the nations, to make a start at bringing people into the open, into light, opening blind eyes, prisoners from dungeons, and emptying dark prisons. I am God. That's my name. May we pray now for the vision that Jesus gives us as we prepare our hearts for the communion. Our Father in heaven, we honor you with a time today of prayer, worship, praise, and reflection, that you and your Son Jesus have come to rescue us in our world. And we ask that this year, this decade, the rest of the time that you've given us breath in our lungs, that we will be humble vessels to show you off to the world, that we would make our lives once again about Jesus. And that whatever's blocking that, whatever throws us off from that vision, we pray that you'll clear it out for us to be representatives that make you proud in that way. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him suffering for our sins, putting himself in our place, sacrificing his life for ours, and then raising on the third day. We celebrate that Easter morning every day of our lives. We celebrate it now. We'll celebrate it again and again and again to remember that with you, every day is new. With you, our souls can be refreshed. With you, we can have true enlightenment from the inside out. We love you. We praise in Jesus' name.